So friends, today, as we've mentioned a few times, today is Palm Sunday. And so Palm Sunday marks the beginning of Holy Week. And so a lot of times we think of Palm Sunday as this Sunday of joy. So if you've been in church for a while, you may have seen these traditions that we think of. We think of the palm processional. We think of the triumphant ride into Jerusalem that Jesus had. And in our church tradition, we recreate all this with a palm processional. I've got a, photo of one here. We've got adorable children waving palms and shouting Hosanna. And so we get this story and the tradition of the palm processional from Scripture, and so I'd like to read it for us this morning out of John chapter 12. The next day, the great crowd had come from the festival, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. So Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. So, for example, friends, I have video evidence of Wyatt's first palm processional. So he was a baby during the COVID-19 pandemic, so that meant that we didn't have a church palm processional. That meant that I filmed it in our front yard and then submitted it to the church we were attending to be, compiled with a lot of others. But that means that I have this video for our viewing pleasure even today. So let's watch this together, because this is adorable. Look at it. Look. He was a baby. He used to be that little. And so this is what we think of when we think of Palm Sunday, right? We think of cute little babies. We think of happy children, happy Jesus riding into Jerusalem. And so often we do acknowledge, as we've got, these different images up here in the altar today, we acknowledge that it ends with Jesus on a cross. But in this sermon series, we're titling it Jesus Season 1. And so we're trying to look at all of these stories in Scripture from a different perspective. And so do we think about the middle, right? Do we think about what drove Jesus from point A, this triumphant palm processional, to point B, being sent to death on a cross? What was so controversial about Jesus's ministry in the first place, right? Like, we're familiar with Jesus. We, as people who have decided to set foot in a church today or decided to watch online, many of you all do this regularly. We have decided to some degree that we like the teachings of Jesus and that we want to follow them. So we don't see them as weird or as odd, or something that would be controversial. We become familiar with them, so we see this is stuff that you're supposed to do. We get used to them as Jesus, what he said, that's the right and the admirable thing to do. So then why did Jesus get sent to the cross? And so here's a scripture for us to consider today. It's something different from your traditional Palm Sunday scripture, of course, but we're taking a different look, a deeper look into Jesus's ministry and what made it so controversial in the first place. From Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 32. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to turn man against his father, daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Now, out of context, we can wonder, what is this? What's going on here? What are these words? And how is this Jesus saying this? How is this the nice and cute and gentle Jesus on the cute donkey with the cute babies and the kiddos waving palm branches at him? Not bringing peace, but a sword? Tearing apart families? What? Like, is this the same guy? And I get it. I get it. This is a seemingly strange and confusing and difficult passage of scripture. But as one of my favorite seminary professors told me, when you have a difficult passage of scripture, don't run away. Don't. It's tempting, but don't. Lean in. Keep going. Keep digging. You'll often find something beautiful and profound and unexpected. So to help us keep digging, let's see where these words come from. What is the larger context here? Well, this is part of something scholars call the missionary discourse in Matthew. It's one of the teachings that Jesus gave. That's why they call it a discourse. And it was given to the disciples before they were sent out on their first mission, thus missionary. That name makes sense now, right? And so what exactly was the mission that the disciples were given? What was so deeply controversial that they should be prepared for division, even among friends and family? What was so extremely countercultural that Jesus compared it to carrying their own cross to be on this mission? And he had to remind them to stay true to Christ and the mission instead of taking the easy way out when they might be tempted to do so. What could he have possibly been asking of them that was oh so difficult? And of course, I looked like, okay, what's the greater context here? Let's back it up a little bit. And I kid you not, in verse 7, we see this is what the mission was that was so controversial. In verse 7, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those that have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. What was so controversial was the good news and the kingdom of God. What was so controversial was providing healing. What was so controversial was reaching out to people on the margins, those with leprosy and those who were demon-possessed. What was so controversial was telling the disciples, because they had freely received God's grace, all those other people who were sick and who were in need and who were marginalized were just as deserving of God's freely given grace too. Jesus had to prepare them that this radical way of loving and serving, that this would be seen as controversial. That this would not necessarily make them friends everywhere that they went, but in fact that it would make them enemies. He had to prepare them that there was in fact a cost of discipleship, a cost that he compared to carrying their own cross. Of course, it was alluding to what was ahead for him, of course, leading and proclaiming this different and this countercultural way to be. Because for even for us today, the disciples then and us today, the call of the Christian life is to be different. It is to be countercultural. Oftentimes, I think we get used to it because we're surrounded by the church, by this life, by this community, and by this call that we all share. But Jesus spells it out for us right here. It is a countercultural life. And it is a countercultural ask. The cost of discipleship involves taking risks. It involves doing hard things. It involves living differently. And ultimately, we seek to reflect the kingdom of God first and foremost in this world. So take, for example, this week, I had someone ask me, how do you handle it when people disagree with you, and especially when they disagree with you strongly? So this is an age-old, unavoidable question, of course. We're always going to encounter those people in life that we don't see eye to eye with. We're always going to have those times when maybe we have a vision of how things should go or how we should get the job done and someone else has another. That's just life. And so in response, I talked about some scenarios in my life where I've had this happen. And so I talked about how I always seek to hear the other person out, to bring down the anger and tension so we can really talk to each other. Imagine that. Reach a compromise if it's doable and acceptable depending on the situation. But how I always prioritize no angry words strewn back and forth. No steamrolling. No, it's my way or the highway, so you get over it. None of that. Even if the answer had to be no, my goal is always to do that in a calm and a loving and a Christ-like manner. And so that person's response, wow, that's so refreshing. And that's not what I was expecting them to say, but I responded, well, this all is supposed to be countercultural. And it is. Think about how divisive our world is. How rhetoric is thrown back and forth at each other like daggers instead of having real conversations, developing real relationships, having real education. How we can ignore people who live on the margins and are in need of help. How we can gloss over hard but important topics like mental health or grief or struggle or just strife. Jesus did not come to bring more of the same. Jesus came to bring a new kingdom, a new way of living, a new kingdom of God that calls us into a countercultural living, that calls us into this path of discipleship that denies ourselves, denies the easy route, and seeks to be about the radical love, the radical hospitality of our God. And so as you have freely received, friends, you are called to freely give. As you are loved by God, you are called to love others just the same. And of course, that's hard. That's countercultural. That will stretch you, and that will grow you. And that will be controversial, and that will be countercultural at times, of course. But we can, and we should, and I would even say we must do it together, friends. We can and we should continue to live into this example as a church. Here are some examples. When culture might say that we should gather up treasures and possessions, things more and more for ourselves, did you know that this church has dedicated, I found some statistics, 18% and maybe even up to 34% at times of its budget to missional giving instead? When many would say that it's too hard or impossible to enter the suffering of others, they don't know what to do or say to how to be a caring presence, again and again, we are there for each other as a church. John Curtis, who we all saw his photo, he was at the 8:15 service this morning. Do you know what happened after service? People surrounded him so much that I had to wait a very long time to say anything to him after service because we continue showing up for people. We continue encouraging people when they're hurting, visiting the sick, caring for the grieving, supporting the struggling. When many would look for how to gain status and honor and power and glory for themselves, I see people of this church instead look for how they can serve. They seek to model humility. They give of their valuable time to support our mission and our justice work, to care for those in need on the margins. These are legacies to continue and legacies to model in our own lives. This is what it looks like, friends, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, especially when we model this in ways that are risky, in ways that stretch us, in ways that are different or countercultural. But may we hold fast to this way of Christ together, friends. May we stay true to this way of following Jesus, modeling this radical love in our world, even when, especially when, it is difficult. Friends, will you close in prayer with me? So God of love, we thank you for this model, for this life of radical and inclusive love presented to us in Christ. We thank you for how Jesus modeled this for us in his life, in his ministry, and even unto death on a cross. We ask that we might be encouraged, emboldened to follow in this legacy, in this call of love in our own lives. Even when it is hard, even when it is messy, even when it is risky. All for the sake of sharing your love with this world. Amen. So friends, we thank you for being here with us today. We hope this time of worship was meaningful to you. And so as we prepare to go from this place, hear this benediction. So friends, as we journey through Holy Week together, may we take time to reflect on the life and the death of Christ, of this kingdom that God proclaimed and what it means. And so when we take that, may we take that countercultural life, that love that God showed, and may we share it with God's world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.